May I speak now in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I love the most about Jesus and his ministry here on earth is he never chooses the likeliest people or those who have it all together to show his love and spread his message. This is one of my favorite stories. Here's a Samaritan woman. She's an outcast, immoral. She has to go to the well at noon when no one else was around because of the gossip and the total rejection of her own people. There could be endless reasons she found herself in this situation, and there would be no end of people who were ready to judge her. But not Jesus. He does not look at the outward actions. He looks at the heart. He knows that her heart will melt and change as soon as he speaks to her. He sees people for who they are and the potential in their lives. So when no one else would dare talk to her, Jesus did. Against all customs, she was a woman and he shouldn't address her. She was a Samaritan and he should have hated her. She was immoral and he should not be tainted by being seen with her. Yet here he was breaking every rule because he saw something in her no one else could. He saw there was a thirst that only he could fill, and he was willing to fill it. That is the biggest difference we see in Christ. He is always willing. All we have to do is receive. Jesus mentioned to her a different kind of water, living water, water so deep and refreshing, water that could wash a soul clean, and she would never have to thirst again. She, of course, would have not quite understood what Jesus was talking about. There is no such thing as living water, and there is no other wells for miles. So she didn't quite understand. Jesus, of course, was talking about something far deeper. He was talking about a living water that would be born, that was being born of the Spirit, which our scripture last week spoke about. It said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit." If we can truly grasp the understanding in this scripture, it will change your life forever. You will never thirst again because it will well up inside you and quench a spiritual thirst that will bring you to eternal life. Verses 13 and 14 tell us that Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become like a spring gushing up to eternal life." The power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. That's a big concept to actually grasp. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus in that tomb and who was dead and brought him back to life is in each one of us through the Holy Spirit. We simply need to ask him to fill us again and again. How often do we as Christians read the words of the liturgy or in a song and say the words, "Come, Holy Spirit"? When we say it, do we mean it? Because if we mean it, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will come and fill us afresh and anew. There's a catch, though, and that catch is that we aren't supposed to keep it to ourselves. He fills us with his Spirit in order that we might be refreshed and strengthened, and in order that we might go out and share that joy with others. There is so much that Christ does that is so unlike everyone else. I read a novel called The Lineage of Grace by Francis Rivers. The book consists of several little novelettes, and each one of them is a woman in the lineage of Christ. We have Tamar, who had to trick her father-in-law to get her pregnant in order to honor his dead son with a child. We have Rahab, who helped the spies and was a prostitute. We have Bathsheba, who is adulteress, and Ruth, who is a foreigner, all in the lineage of Christ. God chooses people not because of what they have done, but because of who they are. He sees us. He sees our potential. Each one of the women I have mentioned was willing to turn their back on their sin and their own gods and follow the true and living God and become a part of his family. The Samaritan woman was the same. She got it. She saw that Jesus was a prophet. Then she realized he was far more than that and began to evangelize and tell people, all the people of the town, about him. And because of her, they came out of curiosity and found Christ for themselves. They received what he had said and knew that he was the Savior of the world. They got it. The foreigners and the enemies of the Jews understood that Jesus was the Messiah because Jesus spoke to an unlikely woman at a well. Is that not like him in all that he does? He takes the obscure, the unwanted, the outcast, because he can see their heart. He can see past the words, or past the things that others don't see in us. Recently, I know several of you have watched, there's a series called The Chosen. And one of the reasons I really, really love this, if you haven't seen it, please download it because it's well worth it. It's on Netflix and also you can download the app. But it goes through as Jesus picks each of his disciples. And because it's happening, you know, on the screen, you can see the personality of each person. And they are very unlikely people. If I was Jesus, I probably wouldn't have chosen those people. But he could see their potential. And one of my favorite ones is when he chooses Peter. Now, Peter, in the way he's portrayed, is really obnoxious, actually. He's always getting things wrong. He's boisterous and doing things that he shouldn't do. And then his mother-in-law got sick. And Jesus goes into the house and he says to Peter's wife, she said, "I'm going to heal your mother-in-law." And she goes, "Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. But why?" He goes, "Could you imagine me being with Peter, as obnoxious as he is, but then if he has to worry about his mother-in-law as well, I don't think I could handle it." And he went in and healed his mother-in-law. And the reason I liked it is because it just feels real. Like Jesus was a normal person, but seeing the depth of people that no one else could see. And we know what Peter became and what God did through Peter. He took a little girl, a daughter of a teenage pregnancy, whose father was an alcoholic, who went to bed most nights hungry and frightened, who wandered the streets most of the day, being locked out of the house. A little girl who didn't understand the concept of love, who was rejected and ridiculed constantly. He saw that little girl and knew that once she saw his love, she would never turn her back on him. And so he sent a messenger in the form of a neighbor who showed her Christ. An unlikely candidate, but one who, once she found the truth of his love, was hooked forever, because that little girl was me. That man or that woman is you. He chose you. And as unlikely as it may feel at times, he chose you. He loves you with everything that is in him, and he wants to fill you with the water of his Spirit again and again until you're overflowing, so that you can share that with others around you. Jesus wants us to be born of his Spirit and allow that Spirit to flow through us, changing us and bringing us to a new and different life in him. Then if we are willing to let him, he will use us no matter who we are, the unlikely, those who have messed up, those who don't have it all together, but who are willing to turn to him and share his love with others. So let us drink of that living water deeply today. What I say is, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.